Welcome to another episode of the Harvest Growth Podcast, focused on helping consumer product companies, inventors, and entrepreneurs harvest the growth potential of their product businesses by teaching cutting-edge marketing strategies and interviewing successful marketers, as well as product marketing experts that share their stories to inspire you to achieve hypergrowth for your own business. I'm your host, John LeClair, founder and CEO of Harvest Growth. And I believe that if you want to make your product the next household name, you just need to follow the right plan, and that even the best products struggle to succeed when they step away from proven strategies that work. And I believe that you can grow profitably, which means you don't need to be a Fortune 500 company or have access to venture capital in order to grow your business. And if you'd like to learn more about what we call the perfect launch process for marketing products, check out harvestgrowth.com. And if you still have questions on how you can implement this process for your business, you'll see a link on our homepage to set up a free consultation with one of our product launch specialists. Welcome back to the Harvest Growth Podcast. I'm so excited today. We're interviewing one of my good friends, Ken Yocum, who's the founder of CampMade. There, you can find more information about their product, and he's going to talk a lot about what they do, what they make of the product, and of course, what the successes they've had over the years. But in short, it's a Dutch oven and Dutch oven accessory company that I can't explain as well as Ken, even though we've been lucky enough to be able to work with him for several months. And I've been using the product and absolutely love it. But I'll let him tell the story about exactly what his product does and how it's so different from anything else out there in the marketplace. But I want to do a warm welcome and quick introduction to Ken Yocum. Ken, thanks so much for joining us on our podcast today.
Well, thank you very much. I'm honored. So nervous, but honored. Yep.
So. Nothing to be nervous about. You know, the nice thing is, this is, remember, it's a very warm and I would say welcoming audience. Everyone who's listening to this podcast, they're inventors, they're entrepreneurs. They're all just looking to learn, right? They want to learn from your example and are excited for your time here. So nothing to be nervous about at all. We're two friends talking about your great story, and this is going to be extremely helpful for them. So thanks again for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it, and our audience appreciates it as well. So let's start off, Ken. Can you talk about CampMade? Now, you've got a whole line of products. Can you talk about, let's say, how you started your business and a little bit about more about what your product is, or I keep calling it a product, it's a line of products, right? But what CampMade products do, how they're different from the competition, and how'd you get into this?
So let me back up even further. So back in the 80s, I just had that, I think it's in the DNA of an entrepreneur that he just wants to work. Just being creative. And back in the 80s, I came up with something and it was a total failure. All it did was cost me a bunch of money. To me, it still was a good idea. It doesn't work with the internet age now, but it would have worked great if I would have known how to market it. So my background's a general contractor, and it's a better way of saying it. I never knew what I wanted to do when I grew up. So the deal is that I got a friend of mine who is a artist welder. And this guy is very, very creative. This guy saw a Dutch oven with a lid that you basically just got to find a clean place to put on the ground. So he came up with this grab and hold design, showed it to me, and then where's it going to go? So the fact of it is, it didn't go anywhere because it needed to do more than one thing. So what I did is I took that thought and I made it to where just one tool. To make it useful and practical, multifunctional, and I made it fold up and store in a 12-inch, which wasn't very easy because of all the different designs that you have to make. But my biggest thing was I'm thinking, if I'm going to sell this retail, and retail was the only thing on my mind. It wasn't online or anything like that. I can't just have one product. I've got to come up with a product line. And a product line wasn't easy, but I came up with a second tool and then a third tool, and then it kind of grew. Then I had to come up with a name. Well, when I came up with a name, it was more important for me to build that brand name than the product itself, because that's when, I mean, again, I come from a general contractor's background. I don't come from a retail or that kind of background. So everything was just new. What I didn't realize is then I got to get a patent. And then I got interest from other countries, and I had to get other patents. It's expensive. But the fact of it is that when I believed in this, and I still believe in it, so you just have to keep moving forward to make it work. And
awesome. Thank you so much.
Can you describe a little bit more, just for those who haven't seen the video or been to your website quite yet, what are the functions? So what do the CampMate, what does the CampMate system do? How does it help you with a Dutch oven for cooking?
Okay, so what it did, it started by being a safety tool, and a multifunctional tool. With cast iron, for 300 years they've been around, and everybody's been happy to take the lid off with their wires, pliers, hooks, and they look for a place to put on the ground. Anybody who's familiar with what I'm talking about knows exactly what I'm talking about. So this tool actually holds your lid off the ground, and then I went to another step to make it, hey, let's pull the actual food up out of the dirt. And so now that's part of the multifunction. Well, that really sold well, meaning it was the only thing in town, the only game in town, and it sold well. Well, then I took that same tool and I flipped it upside down. And now what do I have is I've got a lid that looks like a griddle, but I've got no heat source for it. So that's where the second tool came in. And by doing that, when I say second tool, it takes a long time. Number one, to come up with the idea was easy, but coming up with the manufacturing or the prototype was the, you know, to get it to work and then the prototype. It took tool and die, I don't know, $6,500 or so just to get the tool and die. I don't even know if it's going to sell, nevertheless work. So that's the scary part. Same thing with a patent. Take out a patent, you got a year to use one. You got a year to make sure that you apply for it and execute on that if you think it's going to work. It's expensive. I haven't made a penny and I'm still spending money. So, but I've got interest and I still believe in my product. Then I win an award. Well, the award, all that does is make me really excited. And then I jump in even farther. And, Sportsman's Warehouse out of Salt Lake City, that's where I'm from, is my flagship retail store. They bought my product first. They believed in me and believed in it. My very first day of showing my product was Black Friday. I think it was 2013 or 14. It would be 2013, I think. And pretty exciting when the very first person came up and bought my product, walked to the register. I'm telling you. I mean, just things like that kept me going. But, you know, it's hard to do packaging. You do packaging, you think you're going to tell a story. It doesn't tell a story, so you change the packaging. That's not inexpensive because you have thousands of pieces you've got to – I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's kind of where it started.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that part of the story. And you talked about how you have to walk down this road, which is so common for inventors and entrepreneurs with a new product. You've got to lean forward before you have any idea if your product's going to be successful. What was that first indication, like, hey, we've got something here, this is working, first sign of success that you saw with your business?
Well, I always claim that the buyer of Sportsman's Warehouse cost me a lot of money because he looked at me and he says, I just showed him a prototype. I go, what do you think about this idea? First of all, when I called him up for an appointment, he laughed at me and he says, well, I'm not really laughing at you. I'm just saying that nobody's come to me to say I've got a new Dutch oven tool ever. So he says, I can't wait to see it because no one's ever asked that. So that's how I got my meeting in the first place. That's called lucky. So plus I live in Utah and it might be easier. I'm not traveling out of state and he probably accepted my meeting easier. But when he saw it, he says, I'll take you as many as you can give me, as quick as you can give me because it's coming up on Father's Day. Well, I couldn't give him one, you know, so that's kind of where it started. So it gave me the whole summer and then the fall, and then that's what led to Black Friday. And so it was very successful, and Sportsman's Warehouse was backed me on my, you know, my introduction to the whole thing. And so that's what started it. But that just started the line of tools and the line of thinking and, came up with a third tool to go along with that set. It won an award at the National Hardware Show for the best new product at the National Hardware Show. So here again, there was just something else. I got to go patent the provisional idea. I have to spend more money, but I believe in it. You can't stop if you got something and you believe in it. I had some people, I won't share with you what it is, but somebody approached me with something that went in on the line of what I'm doing. And they wanted me to buy their company. The reason why I'm saying that is they started something, but they only had one idea. They didn't realize how expensive to get down that path to where they were. They wanted out. because they didn't have that passion or enough thought to carry it further with maybe more products or a whole company. Where I'm maybe, I'm not saying I'm lucky, but the Camp Made brand is a brand now. It carries, you know, I've got like 40 different SKUs now starting from one. So excited, and I generate interest. And if you haven't seen it, it kind of grew to where I've got my own cast iron line, because I never thought I'd be in the cast iron business, but what it does, it completes my line. And so, I never thought I'd make a cookbook. Well, a cookbook completes my line. So it's just about completing the Camp Made brand name. And it's been a long journey, but it's been a long 6 years, but it's only been 6 years.
I'm just going to ask that, the timeline. So from the first idea you had until today, now you've been on national TV, you're selling in e-commerce online and in a lot of retail across the country at major retailers. Can you maybe list for some of our listeners, what are some of the retailers you're currently in with Camp Made?
So Walmart, Academy Sports, IFA, which is also a Western United States type, Intermountain Farmers Association, Sportsman's Warehouse, which is a big sports store. Was in Cabela's until Bass Pro bought them, and I'm just not in Bass Pro system. And I'm sure there's more, but you know, going to the outdoor retail show was a big thing for me. It introduced my products to retail stores. They also, you know, if I show it to a buyer of a store, their reaction is the same as a consumer. So when I did consumer shows and I get a good reaction, it keeps me going. If I show it to a buyer, it's the same thing. But the problem with my product, it's so new, and you look at the packaging, what is it? And that's where Harvest Growth has come in and helped me kind of, it needs to be displayed by video. So I think there's a lot of products out there that maybe you can package it, put it on the shelf, and it's self-explanatory. But in my case, it's not a product that works that way. So that's been my biggest hurdle. And if I can put up a TV inside a retail store, it absolutely sells. But you're only as good as that employee that you show that day on how to turn the TV on. You can go there the very next day and the next employee won't even turn the TV on. So that doesn't work. I've tried it. I've tried it a lot, actually. So if you're thinking about maybe doing a point of purchase display, they don't always work, you know, so.
Yeah, you brought up the kind of the power of video. We talk a lot about that in our podcast because, you know, it's a lot of what our business is we focus a lot on video. And to your point, most new products, I would say, if you've got a product if you had just a Dutch oven, there was a better quality cast iron, for example, maybe you don't need a video, you can put that in the box. But when you've got Dutch oven accessories, as you said, the retail buyer has never seen in his entire career new products, you know, new accessories for that category. People aren't looking for it because they don't know what's available. So as you said, video is a powerful tool to be able to really help drive awareness and drive education for a new product like yours, which is great to see. And I will say, you know, before we even met, you've done and still continue to do a lot of video work on your own. You know, you've done a couple of viral videos just on your own phone at trade shows. You've done, just lots of things over the last several years that have been some very successful for you. So do you have any maybe tips or advice for entrepreneurs that might be thinking about doing video? What have you learned over the years that's maybe worked, and what hasn't worked as you've thought about marketing with video?
Well, you made me want to say something else before I answer. You know, so I instead of saying I got two steps, one step forward, two steps back, I think I'm two steps forward, one step back, because I'm in the test mode all the time, every day. And so I'm learning that if maybe it's possible to do something over again for maybe a listener who would know, something that's light, something that can manufacture that's light sure helps, because what's killing me in my business is everything that I do is heavy. So heavy causes shipping charges. I'm trying to get past that hurdle. So let's just say you buy something on campmade.com right now. You're going to get it for as cheap as you can get it because my margins are low because I can't, because there's shipping charges. So that's advice, whatever you're doing, whatever anybody's working on, that's the first thing. As far as video goes, Yeah, I mean, I've done photography, video, and one of the things that I haven't done, and Harvest has helped me with this a little bit too, is that I have so many different people that have helped me with good photography or good video, but it's all different. So one of the things I think when I do like my website is all of it could be consistent, would be better. I don't know that I can do my kind of stuff all consistent, but if I had the same, you know, photographer, same, I think, I don't know if that's answering anything, but that's one of the things that I get criticized about is my content is inconsistent with, but what I do have is a lot of videos out there, a lot of people doing YouTube, a lot of people doing things for me, which is different. That's good. That's consistently different. And that's what I want. But when it comes to maybe my website, and I'm sorry, I guess I did drift off a little bit, but that's kind of where my thoughts were going with, what can I do with video that would be better?
That's a great point. So it's, and you've had a lot of, I mean, you can't talk bad about the work you've done as well. You've had a lot of success over the years. So, you know, we always focus as entrepreneurs, we always want to focus on what could be better, right? You're a perfectionist. That's why you're so successful. Because if you see a success, as you said, you're always in test mode. I love that because you have one success, but it can get better. And what minor changes can you do along the way? And I think that it's an interesting point you bring up on consistency where, you know, translating, so it's a consistent video look and feel, for example, and then translating that to your website. So it really gives you a brand feel. So people, when they get to know you on one platform, when they see you on Facebook, for example, and then they later on see you on a website or on YouTube or other areas, making sure that there are some consistencies. It doesn't need to look exactly the same, but getting that is an important attribute. Now, one video I'll bring up that is, I would say, inconsistent with your other look and feel, but extremely successful is, I think, part of the reason we had our original phone call, oh, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago or so, was after you had great success from that viral video that you shot at a trade show. Can you talk a little bit about that specific video and some of the successes that you saw come out of that?
So what was a crack up about that? I'd never done that live a Facebook video before. I don't think it was really new. It was new to me, but I don't think it was very old either. I think the technology was just there. And it was at the outdoor retailer, and this company came to us, and I think they wanted like $2,000 to run this live Facebook, and I don't have that to do a test. I don't even know what it's all about. But what they did is when they ran it, and we did a start to finish, I did my product line, and I just did this really fast live, and as it's going, people are making comments as I'm showing my product, and those comments were all positive, like, I got to have this, take my money now, this kind of stuff. Well, we had 20,000 views by the time I got to the end of my table. And what that showed me, I mean, I didn't know it, but what it showed me, and it showed that person that that really helped him, his audience, see something really cool. So he actually helped us out financially because it helped him out. So we kind of partnered up in that aspect because it really shows that really works. Like it really got my product out to a lot of people. And that wasn't a commercial trade show. That wasn't at just a home show or something. But yeah, that really, you know, it just taught me the power of the internet.
Well, and I think too, the power, excuse me, of video is, that's what I love about that story is you took this and took it as a learning, not as like, hey, we've got this great viral video, we're done now, but like you looked at, hey, where can I go next, right? Now that you know that video not only brings views, because now you have tens of thousands of views very quickly, much more than that since then, but sales came in from that. So right, you started to see that connection between the two. And again, this is kind of what drove us to meet together originally, is you understood the power and the potential of video to help drive product sales and learning from that. I think that's an important bit of advice, and it doesn't have to be only video we're talking about today, right? But as entrepreneurs and inventors, think about and listen to this, your story specifically, just learning from how do you learn from successes and how do you learn from failures along the way, and making sure you're taking note of that and improving in order to grow your business. So just making note of what works and then getting behind that and how do you scale that up, or what's not working and quickly change course. That's a big part of success for sure. So are there any other, let's say, big successes that stand out for you that you'd like to share? Again, just thinking about inspiring and motivating some of these inventors, entrepreneurs, and product marketers that are listening to this podcast interview, What are some success or some successes that really stand out in your mind as being monumental for your business?
Well, I saw my tool as a Boy Scout safety tool to begin with. So I just started shooting emails because I couldn't find anywhere where the buyer of the Boy Scouts was for the National Boy Scout Supply Group. And I go to these trade shows, but the only person I want to meet is the buyer of the Boy Scouts because I just have to show him this tool because I think every Boy Scout in America should own this tool. I mean, it's just a safety tool, and we understand that they do their cooking merit badge, and 90% of them use cast iron to do that. So that's why I wanted to get my message out to them. And it was so funny that, this guy comes up with his badge on backwards and started talking to me, and I started showing him. Then he turns his badge around where I could see who he was. And we both got a kick out of it because he told me that he's been seeing my emails from the day I was sending them. But he told me he saw my packaging and he says, that won't work. He was convinced my product wouldn't work because my packaging indicated I was trying to heat up a Dutch oven with the way it was laid out. Again, so I learned from that. He knows to this day I changed my packaging because of him. But again, changing packaging is not easy because you got to get rid of what you have and then you got to add, bring in a whole thousands of more pieces. But I guess my mind went blank because there's all kinds of stories like that. But to win awards at events like the Outdoor Retailer, I've got a collapsible folding charcoal chimney. Doesn't sound like much, but what it is, you can buy charcoal chimneys all day long at a grocery store for $15. Mine is twice as much money, but what it is, it's made for a different buyer. This is made for compact. It fits in the 12 inches, built really well. And that is it's a patent pending tool right now, but I would have never thought of something like that until I go to trade shows and I get feedback from people and they talk and I take these ideas and I create stuff from those ideas. And one of the things I can probably say this about John is that it's not for everybody, meaning you can't, maybe it started with general contractor or whatever, but the deal is you can't sit around and wait for things to happen. You got to have to make them happen, even if it's wrong. And I swear everything that all I'm learning is what I've done wrong. You just, you just weed all those out and just every day. So yeah. Sorry, I'm rambling.
No, this is great. Well said. Thank you. I love that you brought up the trade show too. I want to make a point on that for all of our listeners as well. Trade shows are great, but sometimes it may be too early, right? If you've got a brand new product, you don't have retail packaging yet, it may be too early to go to a trade show. You're talking to retailers that want to make decisions right now and ship, in a week or whatever it might be. Eventually, it's almost a mandatory, or especially if you're going to retail, it's a very good place to be. But even before that, you can get some of these learnings that Ken, you're talking about at consumer shows, which you said you've obviously been to many of these as well, and it's amazing the level of feedback you get, as you kind of alluded to, where when you talk to, whether it's buyers, meaning retail buyers, or whether it's consumers that are buying for themselves, when they ask questions, they maybe voice concerns, and you can change your pitch. And then, as Ken, you said here, is you can actually change your product too. And you may actually think of new product ideas. Getting in front of consumers like that is invaluable. In my mind, it's one of the best ways to do market research, really, is, and you're making money. Right? If you're successful at that consumer show and eventually the trade show, you're making money, but you're also improving your future business after that.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up because I kind of forget about these things, but consumer shows are very important because you do get feedback for yourself too. Because if your stuff doesn't sell, if people aren't interested, well, why stick with it? But if you got an interest, if I can get someone to stop at a trade show and you get two people stopping behind them and then four people behind them before you know it, then you got a little frenzy going and people want your product. People that go to trade shows generally are there to buy. So they're just interested in new things are kind of why they go. One thing I've noticed, I look at trade show booths and when I see someone sitting down, he's either hired or he just doesn't care. So that's the first most important 101 thing. If you go to a consumer trade show, sorry to say it, but you got to stand for 10 hours. And you got to be passionate about your product. Being passionate about your product will stop people, But again, that's the best feedback you can get. And that's kind of where some of my retailers came from, walking from an audience. So So another feedback, again, I'm changing the subject, but something happened to me that just recently that, you know, the buyer of Walmart came to my booth at the outdoor retailer. And I was so excited because I have a tool that I know would sell in Walmart. Well, that buyer bought a tool that I didn't think would sell in Walmart, but I was excited to be in. I should have stood my ground and says, no, you can't have this. You should take what I know is going to sell because I know my product. Well, it didn't sell. So right now, that was so much work and to get into a big retail store like that, but you got to make it successful. So I just learned that I should have stood my ground and told them what they should sell, and I didn't. And so I was just excited to be in it, but it didn't work. So what good was that?
So that's a great point of advice as well. We just talked to a client yesterday that has been very successful and with other products over the years and is introducing a new one. And Walmart actually issued a PO to them and they turned them down entirely. And their reason was, I love your rationale, like, hey, I've got a better product that's going to work better for your customer. Let's push in that direction. And sometimes we're hesitant to do that because we think the buyers either know everything or have all the control, but we can push back. And so this particular client actually said no entirely to Walmart, a temporary no. And their thought was they've got a, like your product back in the day or before anybody knew about it, it was brand new. So if you put it on retail shelves before there's any awareness, it can be difficult to drive sales to it. So we're putting together an advertising campaign and then we'll go back to Walmart when the timing is right. So sometimes it's a timing thing. Sometimes it's the right product mix. You know, I've shared our story, our OxiClean story on this podcast as well, and talked about how we used to launch, Walmart would take everything we gave them for a time. And a lot of it failed because we were just like, hey, this sounds great. Let's get that initial PO. But some of these were new products that hadn't been vetted, tested, et cetera. So our key OxiClean products were working, but these others were not. We eventually learned as a company, like, hey, we got to slow this down. Let's get the right things in there that's really going to make this work and keep that long-term growth strategy for that retailer and our relationship, but also, of course, for your business. So I'm glad you brought that up as well.
Yeah, and it probably was the cart before the horse because I had this focus of retail. But it should have been product awareness first and then retail. So I took it as I could get it as fast as I could get it. But then if it fails, it's hard to get back in that store. So it's a learning process for sure.
Absolutely. So if I can ask you, what comes to mind if I ask you, what's one piece of advice that you'd like to share from your experience to inventors or entrepreneurs or product marketers that's been really helpful to you?
People aren't going to come out of the woodwork and steal your stuff. It's too expensive. And so if you do it, and the problem is what if you do have a good idea? You've got to get it patented because you can't even sell your product if you don't have it patented. And if you go selling it for a year, you can't get it patented after that. So again, that's a real important feature, but it's expensive. And so I would love anybody who's passionate about it has no problem spending the money to do it, but it's expensive before you even know if you got a sale or not. But I don't want to discourage anybody, but that's the advice I would give, that it doesn't come, you don't have to worry about, I don't think you have to worry about someone coming out of the woodwork and stealing it because nobody knows if it's even going to sell or not. So if you got a new idea, I'd run with it. All depends on how passionate you are. That example of those other people that came up with this idea, I didn't really think it was that great of an idea. But it was something that's never been on the planet, and they just had one thing. But the problem is, it cost them so much money to get down that road to realize that they've got no market for it. Nobody wants to buy it because they've only got one product for one name. To get into a big retailer, you have to have high liability insurance. You have to have what's called EDI, so their systems can talk. All of those things are expensive. So if somebody wants your product, it's going to be worth it. Probably get all that stuff if you can get into a large retail store. But to stay there,
If you've got that passion, keep pushing forward. I love that. And as you mentioned, people aren't going to often steal your idea. You can start off that road, and you brought up patents, and it can be very helpful to have a patent. But you can start off with an inexpensive provisional patent that buys you a year, basically.
Exactly.
A year of runway now to really prove out, is this going to work before you make these major investments in the business? You know, I think of a lot of inventors over the years that have come to us and they've said, it's a common story I've heard where I have spent $100,000 or $200,000 on a prototype and a patent, and now I have no money left over for marketing or manufacturing. And it's kind of like you said, it's kind of putting the cart before the horse in some ways, where you can do part of that work, right? You don't need to finish a full patent before you even have proof that your product's going to sell, or that it's priced right, or that that's the right design. So start off small and get the testing done. It might be a provisional patent, and then move to the next step, right? So do it step by step. If you follow the right process, now you can avoid spending monumental sums of money before you know if you're going to have a success behind it or not. But being smart, as you said, Ken, on making sure your dots are, or your T's are crossed, your I's are dotted, et cetera, along the way, because you know patents may be important depending on your product category. You may want to have that, but you can start off inexpensively in that process. And you know, from there, do market research, do testing, you know, test markets, et cetera, along the way to start small if you want to, but realize you got to go, if you've got the passion behind it, you've got a great idea. Once you get that answer, move forward as fast as you can and grow that. And that's, in many ways, I found to be almost a more valuable form of protection is the quickness you can get high brand awareness. Once people know the Camp Made brand, for example, if there were somebody to come out with something sort of similar, but they're behind, or they're starting 10 steps behind, it's going to be a long time before they can actually catch up and have success.
Another thing that with this world that we live in, we had a little video go viral, and what it do, it reached the world. So here we got people from Australia trying to buy my product. Here we got people from Europe trying to buy my product. So what does that mean? That means maybe I'll be international. What does that mean? You got to get patents. So I'm telling you, it was worth it for me, and I've got those patents and patent pending, but I don't have that market share yet. But you have to do things like that, let's say, to protect yourself, because what if you do have a good idea? Yeah. Somebody wants to buy your company, that makes it valuable, and the equity. That's what I'm after, that Camp Made brand name. That's the most important thing, for to be respected and make it valuable and have equity. And the be in retail, I thought, was equity, made your brand have more equity, but maybe not. With this Amazon thing and the whole world, the way it's going, it's just have a good product, have a good sound product.
So, totally. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Well said. So Ken, anything else you'd like to share? Again, as you think of our audience, inventors, entrepreneurs, and product marketers, it might be helpful from your experience to them.
I've got somebody that calls and asks me all the time, what do I do? How do I do it? Because they've got a good idea. And I don't ever discourage them, you know, because you never know what's, you can't laugh at anything. You can't, anything could lead to something else. So I think if you believe in it, you've got to go for it. And I mean, how did I get involved in cast iron? That's the thing, you know? So the thing of it is, now I'm all passionate about it. You know, there's not too many big players in what I'm doing. And you can say that in one way, but I am the best cast iron tool in the world. There's nothing like it. And I've been acknowledged by Lodge and Camp Chef as being so. But the deal is that I'm not trying to compete with anybody with cast iron. That's not what it's about. It's about I just completed my line. I've got a full line of cooking system with a full product line. I've got my own charcoal. Where did I come up with charcoal? But this charcoal burns longer, burns hotter, and when it ashes out, it turns to fertilizer. Well, where I got that idea was when I went to Australia. I got a distributor out of Australia who saw me win an award at the National Hardware Show. They go, we've got to have your product. They were in the charcoal business. But to deal with them would have been too expensive to bring it back. So I started investigating charcoal. Next thing I know, I got my own charcoal line. So again, it just grows. I wasn't planning on having charcoal, but all of a sudden now I've got that part of my product line, which is huge because it's an eco-friendly charcoal. So, but there again, it's expensive to ship. So it's hard to compete because of the shipping costs, unless I do it by volume.
Right. So you've been kind enough to offer a discount on your product. We'll get to it in a second on exactly how to take advantage of that. I want to talk a little bit more about the Camp Made line of products, just to make sure, again, if people haven't been to the website yet, I encourage you to go there now. Camp Made, CampMaid.com. You can see videos on the products. You can see, of course, the whole line of products. So there's a 6-piece set, a 4-piece set, a lot of other options as well that are available on this website. I will say the Camp Made primary kind of main product line is this 4-piece set or 6-piece set that comes with a Dutch oven and a bag as well. it's an amazing tool. So I've been a Dutch oven cooker, not a very good one, but I love it. I've been doing it for years. It's amazing what this does to the Dutch oven. So for those of you who aren't familiar with what a Dutch oven is, it's a cast iron cookware. They've become very popular now, even for indoor use, but for centuries, they've been used outdoors and are still used extensively for camping, for outdoor use, you know, with RVs, with tailgating, et cetera. So any kind of outdoor cooking use. And what Ken has done is he's made this kit that now turns your Dutch oven into a pizza oven, a grill, a steamer, a griddle. The list goes on and on and on. I'm forgetting 20 other uses for it. It's incredible. You have to check out the website and see exactly all that this product does. And once you see any of the videos that Ken has done that are on his website, you'll be amazed at what you can do with this. And it turns outdoor cooking from difficult, where I had always struggled with it, to it makes it much easier and safer. And a lot more fun because there's so many versatile things you can do. And there's actually some indoor uses for it as well. But I encourage you to go to check out campmaid.com, CampMaid.com. And I believe, Ken, you've been generous enough. The promo code you've given is Harvest. Is that correct?
It is. So
if you enter in, if you enter in Harvest for the Harvest Growth Podcast, so HARVEST, so we'll know that you heard about it on this podcast, you get a 20% discount, which is an amazing value. So thank you, Ken, for being so generous to our audience. We really appreciate that for sure. I encourage you, go to campmaid.com, and if you use promo code Harvest on checkout, you'll get a 20% discount on your entire order, and you'll see you won't be able to say no to a lot of these products. So go check it out. I definitely encourage you to do that. Any final words you have, Ken?
Well, so you made me think of something. So I started this tool, remember, for the Boy Scouts. I want that tool. And every year, 1.5 million Boy Scouts come of age. I just want that in their hands. But what's happened is they see this system, and it turns out to be the cooking system. Nobody's interested in just that lid holder that does a lot by itself, which is the most inexpensive tool. They all tend to buy those combo kits that allow you to do so much more. And so, you know, I'm kind of glad you brought that up, but you tend to go for the cooking system instead of just that tool, but the tool can't be beat just by itself. So, and I'm, yeah.
Agreed. I couldn't agree more. I love it. Love it all. So thanks again, Ken, for your time. I really appreciate it. How busy you are running a successful business. So thanks again for taking the time out and talking with me, talking with our audience. And I know there's a lot of great insights here that I've learned. I've taken some great notes here, even though I've heard your stories many times, but there's some great insights here, made me think about better ways to launch products. So I really appreciate that. And thank you again for your time, Ken.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your valuable insights and for taking the time to share your story. Our audience of inventors, entrepreneurs, and product marketers will benefit greatly from what you've taught us today. For the listeners, go to their website to learn more, and be sure to check out harvestgrowthpodcast.com to see other episodes that we have recorded. And if you like this episode and you want to learn more about how you can profitably grow your consumer product business, please subscribe to our show and leave us a review at iTunes or Google Play.